Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure on this Friday, March 19th, to welcome to the podcast Wayne Ingram. Wayne Ingram grew up in our church, and in fact, when my husband Wayne Splon and I came on staff in 2008, this was Wayne's first year in the youth group. And so Wayne was one of the very first people that we met at Mountain Brook Baptist, and he has continued to be a friend, and we've loved seeing him minister to the body of Christ. And we'll talk more about that at the end of the podcast. Wayne is reading for us today from the English Standard Version.
Thanks for having me, Mary. Today we have Matthew 24, starting verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also when you see all these things, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field. One will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Who then is the faithful and wise servant, whom his master has set over his house to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that wicked servant says to himself, "My master is delayed," and begins to beat his fellow servants and eats and drinks with drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him and in an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Psalm 105. O give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him. Tell of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles and the judgments he uttered. O offspring of Abraham, his servant, children of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers his covenant forever, the word that he commanded for 1,000 generations. The covenant that he made with Abraham, his sworn promise to Isaac, which he confirmed to Jacob as a statute, to Israel an everlasting covenant, saying, "To you I will give the land of Canaan as your portion for an inheritance." When they were few in numbers and of little account, and sojourners in it, wandering from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another people. He allowed no one to oppress them. He rebuked kings on their account, saying, "Touch not my anointed ones. Do my prophets no harm." When he summoned a famine on the land and broke all supply of bread, he had sent a man ahead of them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. His feet were hurt with fetters. His neck was put in a collar of iron. Until what he had said came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. The king sent and released him, the ruler of the peoples set him free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his possessions, to bind his princes at his pleasure and to teach his elders wisdom. Joel chapter 3. For behold, in those days and at that time, when I restore the fortunes of Judah and Jerusalem, I will gather all the nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. And I will enter into judgment with them there, on behalf of my people and my heritage Israel, because they have scattered them among the nations and have divided up my land, and have cast lots for my people, and have traded a boy for a prostitute, and have sold a girl for a wine, and have drunk it. What are you to me, O Tyre and Sidon, and all the regions of Philistia? Are you paying me back for something? If you are paying me back, I will return your payment on your own head swiftly and speedily. For you have taken my silver and my gold, and have carried my rich treasures into your temple. You have sold the people of Judah and Jerusalem to the Greeks in order to remove them far from their own border. Behold, I will stir them up from the place to which you have sold them, and I will return your payment on your own head. I will sell your sons and your daughters into the hands of the people of Judah, and they will sell them to the Sabians, to a nation far away, for the Lord has spoken. Proclaim this among the nations. Consecrate for war. Stir up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords, and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am a warrior. Hasten and come, all you surrounding nations, and gather yourselves there. Bring down your warriors, O Lord. Let the nations stir themselves up and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there I will sit to judge all the surrounding nations. Put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Go in, tread, for the winepress is full. The vats overflow, for their evil is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon are darkening. The stars withdraw their shining. The Lord roars from Zion and utters his voice from Jerusalem. And the heavens and earth quake. But the Lord is a refuge to his people, a stronghold to the people of Israel. So you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who dwells in Zion, my holy mountain. And Jerusalem shall be holy, and strangers shall never again pass through it. And in that day the mountains shall drip sweet wine, and the hills shall flow with milk, and all the stream beds of Judah shall flow with water. And a fountain shall come forth from the house of the Lord, and water the valley of Achishus. Egypt shall become a desolation, and Edom a desolate wilderness, for the violence done to the people of Judah, because they have shed innocent blood in their land. But Judah shall be inhabited forever, and Jerusalem to all generations. I will avenge their blood, blood I have not avenged, for the Lord dwells in Zion.
Thank you, Wayne, for being a part of the podcast today and for reading for us. You are a member of Mountain Brook Baptist and have grown up in this church, but I would be interested in hearing a little bit more about your story of how you came to faith.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, funny enough, when I was getting into junior high, that would have been you and Wayne's first year here. So that dates both of us a little bit more than we probably want to be dated. But growing up here, I really feel like I built a very good knowledge of not only scripture, but also some theological doctrine and concepts that really just happened over time. You know, I tell people all the time, no one's going to be able to tell you when you learned Noah's Ark for the first time, but I definitely know where it was. It was here, you know. So, looking back, Mount Vernon Baptist has played such a major role in all that. And, I think as I kind of grew, there's really not a set time where I can put myself in that I was, you know, not a Christian and then became a Christian. I think I kind of grew up in the faith, and really my life then kind of became bigger moments where I have to better understand exactly what that means. And, obviously going through high school, I went off to Alabama for college and got my CPA, came back to Birmingham, started working in accounting, and, you know, in a lot of ways lived a pretty by the book Mountain Brook kid life, I guess. But, you know, all the time in between, I think about that because of my faith and because of what I really learned here at Mountain Brook Baptist, I've been involved with Bible studies and youth groups and trying to really share the gospel in that way, but also just in the everyday life. You know, I think about times when I was in a fraternity at Alabama and the conversations I got to have there and the trips that I was able to take in college that were more focused ministry times. But it's definitely something that's shaped, even though it's not a full-time profession for me. I feel like it's something that's always going to be there and always a goal of mine in life.
You mentioned leading Bible studies. I have heard that you're leading a Bible study for boys, and also you're involved in ministering to young boys in recreation league football and different avenues in the community. Will you tell me a little bit more about that?
Absolutely. So I think one of my favorite things to do is to teach Bible studies, especially I kind of found my sweet spot with junior high boys. I think that's probably an accurate maturity level for me to address. And then I've got a group of fifth and sixth graders I meet with too. But yeah, when I came back to Birmingham, I actually got involved one at St. Luke's down the street, helping out with their youth group while I was waiting to start my job in January of 2019. And I also got involved with Big Time Ministries, which our church has supported over the years. And so through those, getting to kind of teach in larger group settings, but also in a smaller group setting, I've really enjoyed, you know, getting to share what I've been taught about the Bible when I was their age or even younger, and getting to kind of be on the other side of the lesson. And I always feel like it's a good discipline to have because it keeps me grounded in the basic principles, that I'm not always trying to think about the more complex theological lessons you can get from scripture, but that I'm never really graduating from the core stories and themes of the Bible. And I've also gotten to coach a little football, maybe not as successfully on the field as I've wanted to, but I just love that experience. I think anytime, you know, there's probably a lot of Christians who teach Bible study. You know, if we took a subsection of all the Bible study teachers, you would hope that a high percentage of those are Christians. But, you know, as we go out from there, you know, what percentage of youth football coaches or what percentage of accountants or doctors or lawyers are there, you know, that you're not just a coach, you're a Christian coach. You're not just a employee, you know, you're a Christian. And how does that inform what you do on a day-to-day basis and how you do it? And so that's the challenge at all times is, you know, how can I coach these kids in football, but how can I also love them in a way that shows God's love for them and you know, is an accurate depiction of that I've understood that God's love for me was extended, and, you know, how can I go out and extend that to others? It's been a really fun thing to do.
Amen. That's exciting. Wayne, do you have a favorite Bible verse that you might share with us? Is there something over time that has really sustained you in times of need?
Psalm 51 has kind of been a chapter of scripture that I've always gone to. I think if you grow up being a Christian for some chunk of time, you're going to have days where you look at your own sin and you think, wow, like, I thought I'd already settled all this, or I thought I'd figured this out, or I thought, you know, I was better than this. And we're not, you know? And so in those times of repentance, I love grabbing Psalm 51. I actually memorized it during youth group. We had Wayne and Mary had a great idea to have a exclusive secret event. And if you memorized all the scripture for the semester, then you got an invite. So that was enough to get me to memorize. And I think I've gotten to go back to it so many times, whether by reading it or just recalling it from my memory. And I just love how it starts off, you know, David is repenting. He's not mixing words about what he did was wrong. And by the end, we get to see this beautiful turn where we get to see that he's immediately forgiven. And I think one of the toughest things, you know, for me has been forgiving myself for some things. You know, it's one thing to understand that we've been forgiven from our sin and accepting that from God, but we can be harder on ourselves sometimes than God wants to be on us. And so that's a good passage for me to read a lot of times and kind of remain grounded in, hey, you know, even though you think you've got a lot of stuff figured out, you still don't. This is a big tangent, but, you know, I think back to what's happened over the last year, and we probably had some structures and governments and things in place that we thought would be prepared for anything, and we found out that wasn't true. And it kind of taught me, like, you know, I grew up, came back here, have bought a house, started a job, done everything, and it kind of feels like I'm just playing adult, right? And you're just kind of making it up as you go. And maybe more people are like that than I thought when I was a kid. And so, you know, in a time of uncertainty, it's good to know that, hey, nobody really is perfect. The world really is broken. And that's what makes the gospel so good.
Wayne, it would be a great privilege for us if you would pray for us as we end the podcast today.
Absolutely. Let's pray. Dear Lord, God, just thank you so much for this world we live in. God, the opportunities we have, even in the midst of a pandemic, when even though we're starting to reopen, things are so closed and different from what they've used to be. And God, we just pray that you would teach us the lessons that you would have us learn during this time, both as individuals, God, but also as a church. God, we've seen all the obstacles we could have ever imagined and a lot of those that we couldn't have thrown at us. So I just pray that it would be a time that brings us closer as a church, even as we've been so distant. God, that you would really teach us things and lessons that you would have us learn that ultimately allow us to return glory to you. So we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.